So I don't know how that works. You make them an offer.
Excuse me, everyone. Everybody's attention. We're going to get started. It's 9 o'clock. I want to welcome everybody today to the pre-bid meeting for Project 17 of, or Project 1 of 17. It's hand 75, 14.39, TED 87005. This is a pre-bid meeting. My name is Eric Shekelhoff. Oh, there, let's switch to the next slide here, please. I'm the project manager for ODOT. I'm out of District 1's Plant Engineering Office. Just wanted to have everyone recognize that this meeting is being recorded. The recording will serve as notes from the meeting and will be available through the pre-bid site. So now I'd like to introduce some of the other members of the ODOT staff that are involved with the project and the design staff that were involved with the design of the project. Chris?
I'm Chris Hughes. I'll be the project engineer for ODOT on the project.
Mike?
I'm Mike Murphy. I'll be the area engineer.
I'm Nate Tesler. I'm the environmental coordinator.
Darren Schimler, district construction administrator.
Bo Smith, I'll be project supervisor.
I'm Dwayne Hackers. I'll be the utility coordinator. And we have utility problems.
Anybody else from Deidre? You want to introduce yourself, Deidre?
I'm Deidre Knoll. I'm the Hancock County Maintenance Administrator.
Gary, you want to introduce yourself?
Gary Kramer. I'm the DBEO for the wage.
Lisa, if you have a moment, come out and introduce yourself. Who are you representing today?
Good morning. I'm Lisa Washington. I'm with the Office of Opportunity.
And Terry Bolden, Office of Outreach Administrator from Central Office. Good morning.
And then from Parsons Brickerhoff, we have
Niles Hussain. I'm the project manager for Parsons Brickerhoff.
Eric Shearer, I'm a designer for the bridges with Parsons Brickerhoff.
Ed Carmichael, I'm a civil roadway design for Parsons Brickerhoff.
Andy Sheeter, civil design for Parson
Rickroff. Okay. Let's switch to the outline. The meeting is kind of a general outline. We're going to have a safety moment. We're going to then talk about some general project information, some pending items. We'll open up the pre-bid questions. Well, I ask that when we do get to the pre-bid question part of the meeting, that you state your name, the company that you represent, whether you're asking a question or giving a response or an answer to the question. So make sure we do that as far as the business rule of the meeting. Also, as Lisa mentioned, following the pre-bid question activities, there will be a matchmaker event at the back of the room at the following this meeting. This switch to the next one, talk about some safety moment. Just want to recognize some things as far as ODOT, some things that we have initiatives in our office. One thing is, you know, don't be that driver, don't be a distracted driver. I know as far as mostly construction individuals know that, you know, it's especially when you're work zone, you want your drivers paying attention. So, you know, just over the holiday seasons as they're traveling, just do not be distracted with business, texting, food, you know, even try to control our emotions while we're driving as well. The other item that's been kind of a big thing for ODOT that we've been trying to really push and see our message boards is that the drug driving is increasing in Ohio. So we urge families and Ohioans to speak to their children and others about the dangers of impaired driving. Also, there's exit signs around the room. There's a main entrance out right out here to the back of the room, and then to the left of the hallway here is another main entrance or exit out of the building as well. Remind you about the pre-bidding process. With the exception of today, all pre-bids need to be directed to the website. The email address is there, or the website address is there if you need it for some reason. Also want to note the disclaimer that, you know, pre-bid questions and answers provided are for informational purposes only and are not part of the actual bid documents. It's a reminder to you to that as well. Okay, we're going to general project information. Project lets on January 12th. It will be awarded on January 23rd. The completion date per the proposal currently stands at May 31st of 2020. There's a DBE goal of 12%. There are some interim completion dates attached to the project. and that involves getting 75, Interstate 75 and US 68, State Route 15 open in its final configuration to traffic beginning of October. There is some disincentives in the plans. They currently are being reconsidered, and there's possible changes pending. So just want to make you aware of that. Also, there may be an interim completion date tied to some a bridge closure on Harrison Street. We are considering that as well. Some general project information continuing onward. The FAA Finley Airport coordination will be critical to the job. If you don't notice that already from the plans, we ask you to make sure you reach out to the airport manager, which is Matt McVickers. I don't know if Matt's here today. I did invite him to come, but we have his contact information in the plans to reach out to him. That would be a critical part of this project because of the city to Finley Airport to the work that will be ongoing. Another portion that's pretty critical to the project is in-stream work restriction and environmental commitments that we have. And I'm going to turn this over to Nate Tesser, the district environmental coordinator. And he's going to highlight some of the conditions and some of the restrictions and commitments that we have in the plans.
Thanks, Eric. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as Eric said, I'm the environmental coordinator. We've got environmental commitments listed throughout the plans. They're in the plan notes there. Eric asked me to speak about a few of the items that may be of the higher priority items, and the one that he touched on already is the in-stream work restrictions. We have a section 404, 401 waterway permit for the project, which is standard for any project that has waterway impacts. And one of the conditions of the permit that I want to talk about is our in-stream work restriction dates for the Blanchard River. We're replacing the bridge that goes over the Blanchard River there. It's called out in the plans, and it's also called out in the special provisions of the waterway permit, that there is to be no in-stream work in the Blanchard River between April 15th and June 30th. And when I say no in-stream work, you can actually have built your work pad or whatever you're going to be working off of in the river. You could build that prior to that April 15th date. So you could have that pad in the water, and you could do construction from atop that pad. You cannot, however, add to that work pad or remove that work pad during that restriction time. So that's a pretty important thing to consider when working on that bridge there. Also at that structure, we had freshwater mussels there that were endangered. We went out and we moved them, so that's no longer an issue for that project or for that bridge. So the mussels are gone. However, the survey is only good for 2 summers. So basically, you have to start your construction in the Blanchard River prior to October of 2018. So just wanted to get that out there. Those are 2 important restrictions for the Blanchard River. A pre-bid question came in about the waterway permits. They asked if they could see the actual permit themselves. It's a ODOT policy to not provide the actual permit until the pre-construction meeting. When I asked down at central office, they said that this has been ODOT policy for at least 10 years now, and the reason being is there's a lot of language in the permit that is kind of general language that doesn't apply directly to this project, and it just serves to kind of confuse the bidding process. So what we do instead is we provide that special provisions, which is included in the contract, that summarizes and hits on all the things that are relevant to this project. And I think the last environmental commitment that I want to, that's worthy of discussion right now is there are tree cutting restriction dates. We have endangered bats that live in the area, and to avoid impacts to them, we need to do our tree cutting during the winter, which is the time of year where the bats aren't present here. And there's dates called out. I think tree cutting needs to be completed by March 30th. So all your tree cutting can start anytime after October 1st and needs to be done by March 30th, and that's called out in the plans, which is something you want to be made aware of, especially since the project, you know, gets awarded in the winter. You might want to get to tree cutting pretty quickly since you've got that restriction date coming up. Okay, are we going to take questions right now or just at the
towards
end?
You, yeah, towards
you. Okay, all right, thank you.
Thanks, Nate.
Mm-hmm.
Next slide is regarding some pending items. One of the things we're considering is there is noise barrier on the project. that's been constructed. And it was some public comment that we received from individuals as far as from the neighborhoods that the noise walls are going to protect. And they had asked if we could build the the noise barriers early on in the construction phases of the project. And that's something that we may stipulate in the plans. We're considering it. The stipulation would be towards the end of the first year of the construction season if we move forward with that stipulation. Another thing we want to make the contractors aware of is that there will be formal partnering involved. They're required as part of the project. Of course, there will be the initial partnering meeting. There's also going to be some additional stipulations for additional meetings, quarterly partnering meetings. ODOT, as far as ODOT District 1, has a desire to self-facilitate. And it was pointed out to us there's a proposal note 111 in the plans that kind of directs us that it will not be self-facilitate, but we're going to look and investigate this, but it is our preference to self-facilitate. In addition to that, we're going to consider some pre-construction meetings for the public and also pre-construction meeting for shareholders and EMS services as well. We'll put that as part of the contractor and ODOT working together in a partnering effort to reach out to the public in these services. This, of course, these additional meetings and partnering sessions will be considered incidental to the contract. Excellent. All right. Now there is work going on north of Findlay, as I think everybody's aware of. Currently, the contractor that's running that job up north is Miller Brothers. The ODOT construction project contacts are TJ Zura and the area engineer Brian French. TJ and Brian, if I'm misspeaking, please correct me. But it sounds like they're going to start the final surface at the end of April, and it's going to take about 40 days to complete the final surface, and they will be wrapping things up at that point as far as the project goes. So, sometime in May, June, their project will be complete. But that is something that any contractor that is awarded the job in Findlay, the HAN 75 project, 17001, will have to consider coordinating with their work zones, and that's going to be a big point to consider. So, especially when they're on the early ongoing of the project. Other things is some other projects in the area, and handouts at the sign-in table. Mary's helping me hand them out that shows some of the projects that are out in the next couple of years. And I want to bring your attention to them, and I know two of them for sure that. Or in the vicinity of the project. One is a cable rail project that is slated for next summer. Is showing the handout. If you don't have one, please grab on the way out. That is PID 102057. And that is basically cable rail extending from the US 68 State Route 15 section of the project. That's going to be the beginning of that section for the HAN 75 to the southeast. That cable rail is going to extend to the southeast. So that's a project that you'll have to coordinate with another contractor potentially. And the other one is, a bridge replacement, a bridge repair project, which is 96658. And it's multiple bridges, but one of the bridges is at US 68 exit ramp off of US 68 State Route 15. And it's an exit over Eagle Creek. So that would be something you have to consider because part of the MOT scheme may involve that route as a detour. So you have to consider that that structure may be out for a period of time. So coordination is required in regards to that project. Next slide, please, Gary. All right, so I'm done with my presentation. I've completed my portion of it. We're gonna go to the pre-bid question response section of it. Just really remind you that being recorded, remind you to state your name and your company when given a question, a response. And just want to hit the disclaimer that any answers and questions are just informational purposes only and not part of the bid document. So and if there does warrant further clarification, we will issue an addendum to address that question. So if you want to go ahead and start, just ask you to raise your hand. How would you like it done, Chris?
Yeah.
Just raise your hand and we'll start addressing questions.
There's been a significant,
Mel Williams with the E.S. Wagner Company. With the bid information coming finalized right at Thanksgiving, and you get a bid dated of January 12th. I'm sure everybody would like to at least celebrate a little bit of Christmas. Is there any chance this bid date can be extended a couple weeks? It's a very large project, a large task to put this together, and you've not given us a ton of time to do that.
Eric Shekel, ODOT. We'll consider that request and respond accordingly, either with a pre-bid response or if it warrants a change in date, we'll fall to an addendum then.
Jim Alford from Proposing Construction. As of yesterday afternoon, this job did not appear anywhere on the bid access site. Is that going to be up on that site soon?
Eric Shekoff, ODOT, was not aware that was the case. Can you pose that as a pre-bid question, please?
Absolutely.
I appreciate that. Thank you. We'll look into it.
Jim Wilson, E.S. Wagner Company. There's been quite a few questions that have been asked. What's the timing on some of those answers?
Eric Shekel, ODOT, there's about 30 questions. I've responded to several of them already, but there's still a lot out there. We're going to, following this meeting, in the next couple of days, you'll start seeing more responses out there.
Jim Wilson again with E.S. Wagner. Specifically, there's a very detailed schedule in the MOT showing when certain things have to take place. I don't recall the exact page number and so forth. And it calls out some work beginning in March 1st, so forth, and obviously in order to facilitate that, there's some pre-phase work that's associated with that, which requires shoulder widening and so forth. I believe if you take a look at the typicals and so forth that you've provided, it calls out for asphalt paving, that type thing. Asphalt plants typically are not open in that time of the season. And if your schedule is adjusted to reflect that pre-phase work, how will the completion of the job, how will that impact that? Obviously, there's a significant amount of work in this job. It appears that it's going to be very intertwined and so forth. And obviously, if you had a significant amount of pre-phase work, something's got to push. Do you envision the contract completion date pushing?
Eric Shugoff, ODOT. We have seen some questions in relation to that question you just posed. One thing was mentioned about possibly using concrete pavement as an option. Also the potential of possibly moving the completion date or even the interim completion dates out too as well. More the interim, probably more than completion date is what we'd be considering. As far as the schedule you mentioned, it's in the plans. That is a schedule, but if you read it's just for informational purposes only, by no means is it directed contractor by the means and methods in which you have to do the project or their schedule of the project. It's the means that was set up by to correlate with the designer's MOT plans. So we are considering, it's been posed to both the designers and us as far as how that pre-phase MOT work will fit in within the schedule. So we're considering that. That is one of the questions that was asked. We're trying to develop an answer for it.
What is driving the October 1st, 2019 interim completion date?
The goal that what's driving it, Eric Shekel, ODOT, District 1, what's driving the goal is we would really like to have the roadway open and completed before winter hits end of that third construction season. We really do not want to have to winter over with snow removal and ice removal with barrier on the road. So the goal is to basically get the road clear so that when that winter hits, that we don't have to worry about dealing with barrier while we're trying to maintain snow and ice. And with October 1st, you know, we're banking on the fact that there may be some delays that you may experience, there may be some weather delays. So we're trying to ensure that we can get the work that we're shooting to get completed before winter hits that year. So winter of 2019. We see issues from a safety standpoint and from a maintenance side as well, trying to maintain, especially if we get into areas where there's contra flow or bear up against the edge of pavement and trying to keep that snow and ice removal. So,
Chris Hughes, ODOT, just to add a little to what Eric said, the schedule in the plans is not contractual. It's an example schedule. However, the phasing is, at this point, part of the bid documents. We would certainly entertain any and all proposals for alternative means of maintaining traffic or phasing, but that at this point is part of the bid documents, but the schedule, the time frames that those phases happen in is not.
That being said, Jim Wilson at the S. Wagner, that being said, it appears that you've got a pretty significant liquidated damages defined, and I understand that you said that you're taking another look at that. However, would it not make sense to offer an incentive for early completion? I mean, right now it's a one-way street to get there. I mean, I don't know that I've seen a job of those type of damages in District 1, District 2, or anywhere up through here. I'm not saying there's not, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah. So, Eric Sharp, ODOT District 1. That's, you know, with, we recognize the question about an incentive, so what we prefer to do is we're going to downscale the distance incentive and probably not allow or provide an incentive to have it be completed, but bring that value down of the distance incentive is what we're considering.
Why no incentive?
Chris Hughes, ODOT, I think to what Eric said, the goal being to get the project open before winter, okay, with an October 1st interim completion date. If you complete by September 1st, of course that's better. But the goal, it doesn't necessarily, you know, we want to meet the goal, which is to have it open before that winter season. And I don't think from a taxpayer funds perspective, we see justification for an incentive to get that done early.
Eric Shuckoff, I agree with what Chris is saying. The incentive's never been discussed previously, and it's kind of been the merit that we feel that we're a reasonable schedule is being presented, and we feel that, you know, if we really wanted to do an incentive, we would probably be pushing a lot tighter schedule what's out there. If there is optional bid involved, we think there is advantages with the optional bid as far as, you know, the ability for people to fit the schedule. So it's never been really considered by us. I know it's been offered in previous projects, but this project right now is currently not being considered. The incentives are not considered. It's a pre-bid question that's on the table right now that I'm looking and considering. We'll consider it, but I can't tell you how we're going to respond at this point.
Dave Ferguson, T.S. Wagner. On the pre-phase work, a substantial amount of shoulder replacement that you have and additional lighting, which will require barrier wall, temporary restriping of 75 and 68. And with the amount of quantity of work that's in that, you've got some detail, roughly probably 60,000 feet of barrier walls are going to be put out there to take it down. Multiple impact attenuators, restriping 75, north and south at least twice. There's no quantities. It's all shoved in with one lump sum. Y'all consider making those pay items?
Yeah. Chris Hughes, ODOT. Yes, we've actually been discussing that. Just to clarify, I guess the question, the way it reads right now is in-phase MOT is itemized. Pre-phase MOT is not, according to the note. We'll likely see some change. I can't tell you right now what that change will be, but there will likely be changes coming just bring maybe consistency to it. I can't tell you exactly which way we'll go, will we itemize or we not itemize, but I think we'll make that consistent pre-phase and in-phase MOT.
One more question. On your 401 for a 4 master, say you're not going to make that available, but yet in the plan notes, you said you've detailed most of the requirements of that, but the contractor is still responsible for all requirements of that permit. even though it's not there. So if there's requirements in that permit that's not shown on the plans, are you going to try to change yours for it?
Yeah, this is Nate Tesler from ODOT. Yeah, we had a conversation with our central office, and the provisions are there because they summarize what's in there. Yeah, it's been ODOT policy for like the last 10 years to do it that way. And I looked through. Yesterday I was looking through the 404, 401 permits, and I didn't see any information that was in there that would be that you're not going to get from the special provisions.
Chris Hughes, ODOT. Just to add to that, and I guess to further on that question is, you know, as bidders right now, you can bid what's available to you. So if there would happen to be requirements not available to you at the time of bid, you know, obviously we would need to accommodate those if it, you know, in whatever way necessary.
Eric Shuckle, ODOT. Nate, you did state, Nate stated recently, I mean, sorry, Chris and I were talking now. Did you state at the pre-con you will provide the
401? Yeah, they're provided at the pre-con.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at that point, it would be turned over. You would find a discrepancy. You could bring that to the attention of the project engineer. We could start negotiations if there is going to be a cost effect to you as far as if that's involved. So, well, we don't expect that. We don't expect anything. So.
Jeff Kirst with the Cozy Construction Company. You had mentioned at the beginning of the presentation about the adjoining job to the north that Miller Brothers Design Build are completing. One of the issues we always run into on the major projects is handling of the transition areas at the end of the job, which usually requires some milling, filling, and restriping. Realize that's a design build project. Has there been any consideration as to how that job is going to coordinate with this job? Given that the northern end of this job is a big push to be done this upcoming year, will those plans be made available and or will we know exactly what state it will be left in at the end of that job in the transition area as it runs into this job?
Eric Shuckle, ODOT. I'm sure we can provide you plans as of record right now. That would not be a problem to provide you. I know TJ Zerber and Brian French and I met. We're kind of trying to talk about the logistics of how those projects are going to come about. And we still have some in-house discussion as far as exactly what we're expecting to do, as far as we'll try to address it either with an addendum or a plan change to help clarify that as far as what the expectations, if there is any different expectations that would currently in the plans. We recognize that. We can't provide any details right now to you on that. I know there's expected striping changes that will occur. They are I know the work that TJ's expressed to his contractor yet, or with the contractor yet or not, but there is some coordination effects that we're going to have as far as what our expectations are with the work they're going to complete. They're staging where they're going to stop stuff accordingly to basically tie it with the transitions to the job to the south. So. But hopefully we'll have some better details we can release to the contractors so they can have an understanding. But you know, we do encourage that whenever the project's awarded, whoever the contractor is that gets to Hancock 75, that they definitely communicate and coordinate with that contractor with Miller Brothers. So definitely encourage that. Any other questions?
While you're thinking of other questions, Darren Schindler, ODOT. Two things I want to point out. There is DRB on this contract. As soon as a contractor is awarded this, I'll be the contact for setting up the DRB. So whoever that may be that wins this award, contact me. We'll work together to get the DRB set, three-person DRB. The other thing, inspection, you know, sometimes that's a question for contractors on how the project is going to be inspected. District 1 has utilized consultant inspection this year
within the district for the first time. We are not anticipating using consultant inspection on this project. We are going to do that with our own ODOT in-house inspection force. So that is the intent right now. Obviously, no guarantees, but that's as we're going through our schedule, putting staff together for our projects this winter, that's what it's looking like right now.
Charlotte DeMarkowski, Foundation Steel. On the approaches, is there any chance of calling out the reinforcing steel and paying per pound? Oh, that's the contractor. Some contractors have a hard time figuring out the reinforcing steel weight versus their being paid in square yards. Usually smaller contractors, but I just wonder, that's the only thing that I can think of at this moment that's not listed.
Chris Hughes, ODOT, I you know, it's one of those things that's always been that way. I don't know. I don't know why it's that way, but it's always been that way. It's something we can consider, but I don't know at this point that it would be likely that we would change for this one specific project.
Yeah, usually if it's specified, Eric Schuckoff, ODOT, usually we specify the steel in the approach labs because we deviate from the standard drawing. We put a lot of weight in our standard drawings and expectations that standard drawing will provide us sufficient details we need to develop the weight and required lengths for the rebar. So I don't see that change occurring. So.
Tony Bird, ES Wagner Company.
Yes.
In your opening remarks, Eric, you made comments regarding the Harrison Street Bridge closure.
Yes.
I wonder if you could expand on that a little bit to allow some open conversation.
Sure. Eric Schuckoff, ODOT District 1. There was a pretty big question that came in. Question, 180-day duration. I spoke to our designers. They did not see any reason to stick to the 180. I think it was suggestion was 270 days actually. And so now we are considering that 270 days as the closure. The one big stipulation that we really do want to stick with is that the fact that Harrison Street Bridge cannot be, that bridge or roadway cannot be closed if Lima Avenue is closed. They cannot be closed concurrently. That's the biggest concern that we have. The other thing is, whatever duration we decide to go forward with, I mentioned I am going to introduce a disincentive into the plans to encourage the contractor to stick with that duration, because right now there's nothing there. So we have to have some type of way to administer getting that structure open as soon as we can, because we do, it is about a, it's not a huge inconvenience as far as maybe miles that we may think as far as general traveling public, but for those people at daily commutes, it will be an inconvenience for them. It's about 3 miles to go out of their way to get on the section road. It's about only about 6.6 miles for them to go up. So we do definitely want to encourage the contractor to get on it, get started, do whatever time it takes to get it completed, but at the same time, we want to get open as soon as we can. So, yep.
Chris Hughes, ODOT, there will be an addendum, correct?
Correct.
Coming out on that.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Great.
Thank you.
Jim Wilson, yes, so I can vote. Well, I'd consider an incentive for opening up on Harrison Street.
Not. Eric shook off the ODOT at this time, no.
Mel Williams with ES Wagner. I know two questions were asked about stay in place forms. They're used a lot in other states and in Ohio. They obviously. We think there's a safety factor, a maintenance of traffic factor that goes with them. Is there a reason you are adamantly opposed at this point to using stay-in-place form for the bridge decks?
Eric, shut up, ODOT District 1. It is in our guidelines, the bridge design manual, that says you shall not use stay-in-place forms. And us at District 1 recognize that guidelines and stick to it. We do not allow it in District 1.
And obviously, other districts allow.
There's one that I'm aware of that does, and he's the one, that's the one standalone one that I'm aware of. So, but our own guidance from the people that back the specification down in central office, no same place forms is what they recommend.
Jim Wilson, ES Wagner Company. There was a pretty big question that we asked regarding the in those shoulder areas that are getting removed and replaced. Some of those areas are in the areas that are have been defined as concrete pavement removal or pavement removal. I think it's TAD, this pavement removal, but it's also an area that you could have that confusion with roads for maintaining traffic. How will that be paid? Will it be paid as roads for maintaining traffic, or will it be paid as pavement removal?
Eric Struckup, ODOT District 1. Will you look at that question? And I believe the way we're going to lean is that it's in pavement removed, and that's where it's going to stay. But we'll follow up with a appropriate response, whether it be a response is a response to a pretty big question, or a plan change if we change the direction.
Chris Hughes, ODOT. Just to add to that, I guess from my perspective, it would be any existing pavement on the project, unless there's some note I haven't seen yet. If it's there now, it'll be paid as pavement removed.
More questions?
Jim Wilson, ES Wagner. The DBE component on this job is pretty significant when you consider the total dollar figure for the project and so forth. I think there was a couple areas that we did point out. It appears that there was some striping and so forth that was in the base bid, and I assume you'll get all that cleaned up. We're very concerned about quantities that are as directed and so forth, because obviously the goal is that you have at the time of bid, and also when the completion of the work, when all the change orders and everything are written, that they're hoping that you fulfill that goal at that point as well. And obviously on items that were as directed, quantities that are identified in here that could be performed, could be non-performed, and so forth. Is there any consideration for the reduction in that goal? To make it more reasonable, I mean, that's going to take you up to a pretty significant number, and when you think about the opportunities that may be in place and how you're going to arrive at that significant number for the DBE on a job of this size, is that 12%, is that hard and fast? Have you all formed any consideration of maybe reducing that goal?
Eric Schuck, ODOT District 1. It's hard and fast at this point, and it's very, I've never seen it reconsidered. It's it's established on the central office level through the office contracts. It's predetermined. The district has very little influence on establishing that percentage. I don't know if Chris, Darren, Lisa, Terry, if you guys want to speak up about the 12% goal, and if it's for the DBE, and if that's even adjustable by any means. And there's concerns about change orders that may affect their ability to accomplish it, or as directed by the engineer qualities that may affect the ability for them to achieve that goal.
Right, and we, in the goal setting committee, as you know, it's 12%. We looked at the overall dollar amount of the project and all the opportunities possible for any subcontracting. So as you all may know or may not know, there are no longer any waivers granted with good faith efforts in your bid that you return. So, and that good faith effort isn't just the phone call to say that the subcontractor didn't call me back, but it's a little more extensive reporting to that. So, but as far as the goal changing based upon what was already said, that is a no.
Thank you, Terry.
Jim Elkert with Composing. Being that the goal is not going to be changed, would ODOT be willing to clue in the contractors as to how that goal was set? You know, what types of work are you thinking that are going to make up that 12%?
And that's something that we could possibly, this is Terry from ODOT, Terry Bolton from ODOT. That's something we could probably explore a little bit further after the meeting or in formal documentation. But there is a goal setting committee from both construction and engineering, as well as the Office of Diversity and Inclusion, and we look at all the work types that are possible in the work and the opportunity. And as you may know, again, the estimate is at $132 million, and we take that, again, based on work type opportunities in the contract, from trucking to MOT work to supply as well.
Jim Alford again, do you take into consideration the capacity of the available DBEs in the area? Because that's been an issue for us in several parts of the state, that the capacity for them to perform the work that you're perhaps thinking they can perform on this job, like those are two different things.
Well, this is Terry from Boulder from ODOT. We look at all the availability, not only in this district, but also surrounding districts, availability of disadvantaged business enterprise companies. As you may know, the certification does not measure capacity, but it does measure availability. And again, a part of that goal was looking at the dollar amount of opportunities that are available in the project itself. Again, there are no longer any waivers, but there is a good faith effort. So if there's some issues there in terms of meeting that goal, we are expected to report that back to Federal Highway, that what we got back from the contractor. It is, again, considered compliance or non-compliance if you do meet the goal or miss the goal. I would like to also note, too, again, this is Terry Bolden from ODOT. We are having a matchmaker afterwards, and a lot of the issues we've had in the history of some of the programs, some of the primes finding that they cannot find DBE companies, and some DBE companies saying they're having a hard time meeting with primes. So when this new office was established from the direction of our director, Director Ray, he wants to see more of a vibrant interaction between both prime and subcontractors, and this is one of the ways that we're trying to build those relationships. So again, after the pre-bid and questions, there will be a matchmaker for DBEs to meet with prime.
Thanks, Derek.
Thank you.
Any more questions, please?
Yeah, Mel Williams with E.S. Wagner. We do have a pre-bid question on this, but I want to bring it up to get your thoughts also. It is that vibration control and monitoring for your pipelines. We've requested either drawings or something to accurately locate where all the pipelines are that are going to fall under this. I mean, this is a very large scope. You're talking anything within 300 feet of the construction. Have you had a chance to look at that or think about what we've got here, what we're supposed to perform? And there's one note inside that big general note you've got in this vibration control that says if we exceed the limit on vibration, the vibration control specialist is supposed to analyze whether damage was done to the pipeline. I think that note needs to be reviewed and probably removed because he has no knowledge of the pipeline. And I don't know how he would assess the damage done to the pipeline. But the bigger thing is the location of the pipelines and which pipelines are included in the vibration control monitoring. It's a large item.
Wow. Eric Schuck of ODOT District 1. I know the plans show the base, the pipelines throughout different locations within the limits of the project. You know, there may be areas outside that maybe we need to share that maybe aren't shown. We can review that as far as between the designer and us. The vibration is a concern. It was a big item down in Lima with the reconstruction 75 through Lima. So I don't know if anybody from construction wants to mention issues that I had with that particular project and the vibration. Or Dwayne, if you want to add in some insider input on this discussion.
Yeah, Dwayne Hackworth, ODOT. There's three major pipelines that are crossing I-75. One of them is by the tanks, just south of the tank farm. There's only one left there. There was three. There's only one active one now. And it has been relocated, and it is very deep going underneath I-75. So I don't expect any issues with that one.
You still got, even though, no matter what the depth is, you got that 50 to 25 feet on each side of no vibration equipment, even for anything.
We had the same thing in Lima. And
so there's several other crossings of existing pipelines, four that show 4-inch, and that, what ones are going to be in that restricted for no compaction?
Yes, we're going to have to ask the pipeline companies.
Because they have got into this where they got down to high pressure 4-inch, where you're not compacting on a 4-inch or 18-inch or whatever.
The only ones that I know that are active, I said there's one right there south of the tanks. Snowco has two lines that cross by the Hillcrest Golf Course up there. Those are not as deep as the one we had relocated. And then Marathon has a line that we relocated on Lima Avenue. And that actually goes into the tank farm and comes up on the backside. On the I-75 part of the project, it will not be a factor. But on Lima Avenue, there's one place, and it's very deep in the rock. And we'll just get with Marathon and see what they require.
Yes, the relocate will take one more than 300 feet from the work zone.
No, this is across. I get you what you're saying, that we're going to have to talk to them and see what they require. Sometimes they require to put a steel mat, a rebar mat, it just depends. So we'll just have to see what they're going to force us to do.
There's a service road being constructed part of this project too, and is Eric Shuck off of that? And there's a pipeline that runs, that Marathon line you're talking about, Lima Avenue, actually runs adjacent to that as well, so that's something that you could consider the proximity along the service road as well. I don't know if the designers have anything to interject in with the site and the pipelines that we've mentioned. Go ahead, Bob.
Hello, Smith, ODOT. I was on the project down in Lima, and same restrictions. What we found is we had no problem getting density in our dirt or in our asphalt. Now, we did have to run extra passes to reach it, but we did pass. And the pipelines were always on site at the time to allow you to do it, not to do it. And it really depended on depth of the pipelines.
Yeah, I understand on the crossings. I'm showing on your drawings that they're very sketchy of where they show these pipelines. They show them parallel at 75, and as near as you can tell from the sketchiness of the drawings, they are paralleling 75 and they're within 300 feet of 75. Okay, so if they parallel for a mile, then all the construction in that mile, we're gonna have to have monitoring there every day. So we need more information on which pipelines they are and which ones are within that zone that require monitoring. It's not just the three crossings. I mean, that's the simple part.
Yeah. Eric, shut up. Oh, no. I understand that concern. I think we're going to have to look at that when the pipelines run parallel, maybe give you a station limit or some type of definition as far as where that concern needs to be merited, if it's even merited for that line. You know, and then like Dwayne pointed out, we'll have to go with individual pipelines to see how they want to supply that condition to their pipelines, if that's necessary or not. So we'll look at it, and will we have a response in the pre-bid, or we'll follow up with them again in a moment.
Very first, on those pipelines, the three that parallel from the tank farm, show three pipelines coming down tank farm down to the railroad bridge along inside the right-of-way park. Shows one's been relocated, and we got a bid item to remove one. The other two pipelines that's there stay in place, or will they remove it?
Dwayne Hackworth, ODOT. The Marathon line that crossed I-75 and went into the tank farm, that pipe has been removed. And the North Coast line that is there is in place. It's been abandoned, and it's in place. And you will get into it, some of the old pipe. And like I said, there's notes in the plans to how you're supposed to deal with it, but it's not active anymore. So, but the Marathon line that is relocated is within the 300 feet of parallel to the project. You're absolutely right about that.
Dwayne, I'm trying to recall that Eric struck off the MoDOT. Did Marathon remove their old line when they relocated, or did they leave it in place?
No, they pulled all of it. Marathon, I asked them. They, as a company, will not leave them in place. They
so the three lines are only one left that's in there for us to remove.
Right.
Jim Wilson, E.S. Wagner, has that line been purged?
Yes. The one that's banned has been purged, yes.
Thank you.
There's been grouted where it crosses underneath I-75. It was grouted full. I'm not going to say it's all grouted full, but a good share of it was grouted full.
Any more questions? We appreciate some questions. So if you have more, please ask.
Eric, I have a comment. Eric Kramer. I have just one comment on Pavilion Way and trucking. I anticipate this job being a high off-road or on-road trucks used. Another project that has been a high impact to the contractors that didn't put it in their bid. So I'm going to get very clear on the trucking. You know, ODOT is monitoring this a lot closer than we ever had before. Trucking on site is prevailing wage. On site trucking is. Anytime you're trucking and loading and dumping on site, that's a simple one. But when you're dumping to a specific site that is made for this site, if you're hauling your topsoil, you're hauling bar or whatever, and you're stockpiling, you're going to bring it back. That's a prevailing wage haul. If you're going out and you're getting borrow, we have a lot of fill this job, if you're getting borrow from a specific site that is for this site only, that is prevailing wage. The site that you're on and the trucking back and forth, prevailing wage. So make sure we're putting that in our bid because we are monitoring that a lot closer than we ever have before. Just, if you have any questions on it, my contact information is up there. You know, as to what would or what wouldn't be, I'd be glad to answer that for you. Make sure that we're getting
that
in our bids.
Matt and Eric Schuckel, if I'd ask you, do you have a question, pose it for free bid. Maybe we can bounce it to Gary and get Gary's direction on that. But I post some free bid, please.
Real simple one for Mel Williams, E.S. Wagner. Will the sign-in sheet be available to the attendees?
Yeah, well, Eric Schuckel, ODOT, we'll go ahead and post that as well. Make that available. It'll be on the reference only information. Yeah, Darren's made a good point. If you haven't signed in, please sign in. Name, phone number, email address. Who you represent, please. Thanks, Darren. Any more questions? Going once, going twice, sold. All right, we're good. All right, so I'll look for more.
Remember, we all want a Christmas holiday, so thank you.
Hey, I do too. So, but thank you for, we're not finished totally yet. There's going to be a presentation, now that we're complete, for the vision of diversity and inclusion, Office of Outreach. Lisa's going to present, is that right, Lisa? Or is Terry presenting? So I might then come up. If you would please remain seated.
Good morning, everyone. This will be very short. Before I get started, though, I'd like to have the District Deputy Director of District 1, just come up and give a welcome to everyone, if you haven't met Kirk Slusher before.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Kirk Slusher. I'm the ODOT District 1 Deputy Director, and we're excited to be able to bid this project out here at the beginning of 2017. It's obviously a big project for us, and One of the main goals, obviously, for us is to increase the diversity of our contracting industry. And I'm going to kick it right over back over to Lisa, and she's going to talk a little bit about one of the opportunities that we have today to increase that opportunity. So thank you.
Thank you. Just a little background. Our intention of having a matchmaker event is, again, what Terry Bowden had mentioned, is to introduce DBE companies to prime companies. Some of you may not have received that information. Normally, when we send out the information, we send it out to the DBE companies. We will contact the prime companies that have purchased plans to see if they want to participate, because usually we're looking at a specific event like we are today. Sometimes we will have just open matchmakers where we just want DBE companies and primes to introduce themselves and interact with each other. So today we're specifically looking at the Hanover project. You've already heard the proposed project is to reconstruct and widen Interstate 75. This will be from the south of Harrison Street, County Road 144, just south of US 68, State Route 15. You've heard all this already. Look for me. Okay. Here's a picture of US 68. Next picture. That's the proposed Lima Avenue interchange. The project schedule, of course, the estimated cost is $132.5 million. The letting date is January 12, 2017. Project completion, May 21st, 2020. The interim completion date is October 1st, 2019. These are the anticipated work types. This is where we can see opportunities for our DBE companies. They can see what type of work types are out there, what they can do, and hopefully introduce themselves to those prime companies to say, hey, my company does that, we do that very well, and we would like to work with you. Next page for anticipated work types. So there is a lot of work that will be done, of course you guys know that, on this particular project. The DBE goal, we've already heard, is 12%. If you are having problems finding DBEs, you can always look at the directory. Also, our office is here to assist you. If you don't know about the Office of Outreach, we have four outreach managers. We each cover three districts for ODOT. I cover districts 1, 2, and 3. My three counterparts cover the other districts. We can work with you in finding companies, even edge companies. Some of your projects have edge companies on those. So please, work with us. We'll try to assist you as much as possible. Last slide. So that was my short presentation. We were anticipating starting our matchmaker. We said it would start at 10:30. We will probably start a little early, but before I close, I'd like to introduce again my administrator, Terry Bolton, from the Columbus office.
Thanks very much. I just wanted to also, this is Terry Bolton, I just also wanted to reiterate too, as the DBE program continues to grow and you're out there working with businesses that possibly could be a DBE, definitely refer them over to Lisa or any of the other outreach managers that we can help them work towards becoming certified. There are certain parameters that Federal Highway, USDOT, requires for a DBE business, and it's pretty much a long list. Some of it is personal net worth, their revenue, and we want to make sure that, you know, they're a legitimate company, and we go through this hard process that we make sure that they're able and ready to do work in this field. But if you know of any businesses that can build relationships with but can possibly be a DBE business, please contact us and we can help you walk through the process. So thank you very much, and thank you, Lisa.
All right, that concludes what I have. We will probably start the matchmaker about 10:15. I see some of the companies are here. Some of my primes are here. So thank you very much.
That concludes the meeting.
It was mentioned, yeah, a few minutes ago.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.